This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the February 27, 2015 podcast. My name is Natalie Pincham, and I'll be reading summaries of five articles on surgical technique and epilepsy. Suprachiasmatic translamina terminalis corridor used in endoscopic endonasal approach for resecting third ventricular craniopharyngioma by Ye Gu and colleagues. Third ventricular craniopharyngiomas are challenging to neurosurgeons. The translamina terminalis approach has been reported as a valid choice for the removal of lesions involving the third ventricle, without the major sequelae related to the surgical approach performed using bifrontal craniotomy or supraorbital craniotomy, and as a complementary approach in extended transphenoidal surgery. In this study, the authors report the use of the suprachiasmatic translamina terminalis corridor in the endoscopic endonasal approach for resecting third ventricular craniopharyngiomas. The surgical nuances are described in detail. The indications, contraindications, and complications are discussed. The outcome demonstrates that the suprachiasmatic translamina terminalis corridor is a complementary, minimally invasive corridor in the endoscopic endonasal approach for treating selected third ventricular craniopharyngiomas. The suprachiasmatic translamina terminalis alone, or combined with the infrachiasmatic transmetastalk corridor, should be selected, depending on the size of the suprachiasmatic and infrachiasmatic space. An intraoperative video is also presented. Usefulness of the endocyanine green fluorescence endoscope in endonasal transphenoidal surgery by Takuichiro Hide and co-authors. In endoscopic endonasal transphenoidal surgery, the spatial resolution power of neuronavigation systems and Doppler ultrasonography are sometimes not sufficient in detecting small vessels and to evaluating their patency. To address these problems, the authors evaluated the clinical usefulness of the endocyanine green endoscope. Patients in this study harbored pituitary adenomas, meningiomas, and craniopharyngiomas. After opening the sphenoid sinus and placing the endoscope, endocyanine green was injected into a peripheral vein as a bolus. The internal carotid artery was clearly identified with a strong fluorescent signal through the dura mater and covered thin bone. In tuberculum cellae meningiomas, abnormal tumor arteries of the dura were seen, and the vague outline of the tumor attachment was identified. Moreover, distinct intensity of fluorescent signals between pituitary stalk and craniopharyngioma was detected. After tumor removal, perforators to the brain, optic nerves, chiasm, and pituitary stalk were visualized with high-resolution power. In particular, fluorescence signals through the hypophyseal arteries were vividly identified, which were spreading to their perfusion area with the passage of time. Endocyanine green endoscope is a useful tool during endoscopic endonasal transphenoidal surgery as a new, powerful instrument. Real-time observation of blood supply in optic nerves and pituitary might be a predictor of preservation of their function. On-demand pulsatile intracerebral delivery of carisbamate with closed-loop direct neurostimulation therapy in an electrically induced self-sustained focal onset epilepsy rat model by Erwin Zita Mangubat and co-workers. In this study, the authors demonstrated the feasibility of stabilizing a self-sustained rodent model of bihemispheric limbic status epilepticus by combining two separate on-demand seizure suppression therapies. Unilateral delivery of closed-loop direct stimulation therapy, similar to the NeuroPace system recently approved by the FDA, was placed in seizing hippocampal pathways of freely moving rats, together with on-demand direct delivery of the novel anticonvulsant carisbamate. This hybrid intracerebral therapy system was shown to influence both hemispheres to significantly decrease seizure frequency. Moreover, addition of unilateral direct delivery of nanobolus carisbamate was shown to decrease seizure frequency variability compared with closed-loop direct stimulation therapy alone. This study's dual treatment strategy yields many advantages. Specifically, it decreases spontaneous expression of seizure activity, eliminates dose-limiting side effects seen with systemic delivery of anticonvulsants, and minimizes influencing non-epileptic brain regions. The dual therapy strategy described in this benchmark paper simplifies the surgical approach by quieting a bilaterally communicating epileptogenic network distant from the site of therapy delivery. The paper also describes future directions for overcoming limitations of convection-enhanced delivery by using nanocarrier-based therapeutic molecules. The authors emphasize that as the molecular underpinnings of neuromodulation evolve, the most effective responsive system will likely be based on hybrid technologies. Analysis of neurosurgical reoperations, use of a surgical checklist and reduction of infection-related and preventable complication-related reoperations by Marjut Lepanluoma and colleagues. The World Health Organization Surgical Safety Checklist was developed to improve adherence to operating room safety standards. Its use has been proven to reduce surgical complications and mortality in several studies. The aim of this study was to determine whether the use of this checklist would have an impact on neurosurgical complications leading to a reoperation. At Turku University Hospital in Finland, the authors gathered information on more than 5,400 neurosurgical reoperations from the hospital discharge data and the Operations and Procedures Registry. They tracked all primary neurosurgical operations preceding a complication-related reoperation from 2007 to 2011. Observed adverse events and reoperations were categorized as preventable or unpreventable from an analysis of the patient records, including 103 patients before and 72 after the introduction of the checklist. The overall rate of preventable complication-related neurosurgical reoperations decreased significantly from 3.3% to 2% after the checklist implementation. The reoperations were mainly due to wound infections. All infection-related reoperations, proportioned to all neurosurgical operations, showed a significant reduction after the implementation of the checklist. In particular, there was a significant decrease in the rate of preventable infections associated with reoperations. These results support previous findings regarding the benefits of a surgical safety checklist, including the prevention of serious adverse events after neurosurgical procedures. Suture retraction technique to prevent parent vessel obstruction following aneurysm tandem clipping by Tarek Rayan and Sepide Amin Hanjani. Large and giant aneurysms often require multiple clips to ensure complete obliteration. However, the stacking of multiple tandem clips can potentially lead to kinking and obstruction of the underlying parent or branch vessels. In this report, the authors describe a unique solution to this problem in the case of a near-giant middle cerebral artery aneurysm. During surgery, intraoperative blood flow measurements identified kinking of the temporal MCA branch following the application of multiple tandem clips secondary to the cumulative weight of the clip construct. To alleviate the kinking, a suture was tied to the hub of one of the clips and was used to retract the clip construct. The suture was then secured to the dura overlying the sphenoid ridge with a small mini-aneurysm clip. Repeat flow measurements confirmed restoration of blood flow in the temporal MCA branch. Postoperative angiography confirmed patency. An intraoperative video demonstrating the simple but effective technique is provided. Thank you for listening. Follow the JNS on Twitter at #TheJNS and please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group. Comments on this podcast can be sent to jnspodcast@thejns.org.